Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel speeding in!
Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Hey, Rusty boy, my dear longtime friend. This is another episode of The Suspendables. With him, Russ Cortinel. 32-year hockey career in the NHL. Russ is now 84 years old. We've never told you that.
Okay. Yeah, right. And, my insides might be 84. Yeah. My birth certificate says 57.
I always see friends of my dad's. You know, my mom and dad have passed away, and a lot of their friends are getting on and have died. But a few are still around. I go back to Ottawa. I'll say, hey, Mr. Riopel, you look great. And he always said, I wish I looked worse, but felt a lot better.
That's funny.
We got a show coming up, Rusty. Boy, I couldn't wait to tune in today. I said, I got to find out because we flew that out there last week. Russ, during your member guest, your buddy drove his golf cart through a buffet table. I think it was your cart.
Yeah.
Through a buffet table. Great story. And you were kind of half jokingly, half serious going, I'll have to wait till I get the incident report from the golf course. Did you survive? Did you get kicked out? What happened?
I got a nice note from our general manager saying, you know, thank God nobody got hurt. Glad you weren't in the cart. And so I escaped anything formally written in a letter. But you know what? It was expensive for the boys to have be fixed.
What's the tab? Give us
$9,000.
Ooh.
Now it's now the most expensive cart in Sherwood.
And that's Sherwood, man, where everything's expensive.
I'm getting it back today, so I'm kind of excited and nervous because, you know, anytime anything's in an accident, you know. It doesn't really come back 100%. So hopefully they said 100% plus. So
I think they
put some stuff in there for me.
I got in an accident, Russ, 3 weeks ago, and I'm sure not getting my truck back.
Nope.
She was totaled. Russ, I'm 9 coffees deep, Rusty. I'm a little edgy.
Kind of like the Coke days.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, it's kind of like those days. It's my new Coke.
Dummy game. Dust. Devil's dandruff.
Okay, I think we get it, Russ. Okay, I think we get it. I didn't like Coke. I just liked the way it smelled.
My wife that the other day that he said that. She laughed her ass off.
I'm 9 coffees deep. Your buddy. I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
Didn't in a golf cart, didn't get a drunk driving charge.
No.
It's Stanley Cup Finals, Russ. I guess that reminds me. I had some buddies come to town back in the day where, embarrassed to say, but it was where we often drove drunk. These guys came in for the Stanley Cup Final when Edmonton was in it with
Carolina. We know exactly when it was.
Okay, it was Carolina.
The fucking anyway, 80s.
I got to drive these guys home. They're insisting on it because he's visiting his sister. She lives way up north end of town. I'm driving home at about 4 in the morning. This would be the luckiest day of my life, Russ. Well, 3 weeks ago would have been the luckiest day of my life, but I'm driving home and I'm going through an intersection and I'm to carry on straight and I realize I'm in a left-hand turning lane. So I just sort of slip over into the other lane to carry on straight and I get a little high beam action. There was a guy there I kind of cut off and hits me with the high beams and then I carry on. I go to turn left at the next intersection. I look in my rearview mirror as I'm doing that and it's a police van.
Oh, God.
Whoop, whoop, pulls me over. And I'm sitting there gripping the wheel going, well, you deserve it.
Yeah.
You're going to get an impaired. You know, you're
heart's racing. Like you've had 9 racing, cups of coffee.
You idiot. It's 4 or 5 in the morning. I said, you know, I've beat it before. I've beat never getting one before. I've never been stopped, but I've, you know, finally you're going to pay the price. I was working for Molson. I thought these ramifications of this are going to be extraordinary. Oh. I'm going to lose my job or something. Yeah. So anyway, I pull over, the cop comes to the window. I roll it down. He sort of ducks down and says, where are we off to? Oh, wow. He says, ooh, turn the car off, back in the van right now. He's waving his hand around with the smell of booze, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm in a shirt and tie from the all day. I pile into this back seat of the paddy wagon, and the two of them are sitting there, and the one girl is his partner, says, okay, not if.
Yeah.
Not if you've drank. But how much, just out of curiosity, how much have you drank today and tonight, right? And of course, the deny.
Right, and now, yesterday.
Yeah, I'm going, what's your smelling officer is actually, and she goes, shut up. Okay, I'm going, well, someone just spilled a beer. She goes, shut up, okay? And I'm sitting there, no talk or anything, and I'm, you know, my head's going a million miles an hour. What am I going to do? And I look out, Russell, maybe 20, 30 minutes have gone by. I'm still sitting there. I see a tow truck pull up. They hook my car onto a tow truck, and I'm going, okay, taking my car, right? And they go, yes, we're taking your car. And then the one cop goes, you should consider this the luckiest day of your life.
Oh, boy.
Okay. We're towing your car to the impound. You can get it tomorrow. There's a cab right there that we've called for you. You get home. And if you're ever, your name's, you know, if you're ever caught like or anything like this again, I'm going, is this a joke? You know, you'll go to jail or something like that. So I get in the car. I get in the cab. I got my briefcase with me from the, and I'm singing with this guy. I'm going, drop kick me, Jesus, through the goal. Yeah. You will not believe, dude, what just happened to me. I'm hammered and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, off I go. I get home. I get up the next morning. I go to my office. And there's a message from a cop who I know who's on the force.
Yeah.
Bobby. So I phone Bobby. He goes, hey, idiot.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going, yeah. He goes, heard you had a little, you got stopped last night on the way home.
Yeah.
I'm going, yeah. He goes, man, oh man, what are you doing? You know? And I said, I don't know. What do you want me to answer to that? You know? And he goes, I said, okay, Bobby, I got to ask, why did they let me off? Why did they let me off? I didn't know who they were, Russ. No connection. Yeah. They didn't. Bob wasn't on duty that night. You know, it wasn't his shift. He said, well, I got to tell you, if you're going to get stopped for an impaired, you want to do it at the end of someone's shift. And it was 5-6 in the morning, and they get off at 6:30 because for them to book a guy for an impaired, it's sort of this 7 or 8 hour ordeal where they have to stick around.
Uber, man. Do you guys have Uber in Edmonton?
Of course we do. Yep. Of course we do.
It's just magic.
It's magic. Yeah. It's magic. Now, I'll tell you what, Uber, when it was popular, Russ, it was because it was about you know, 2/3 of the price of a cab. That was their big hook.
Yeah, yeah,
you
know, yeah.
They've changed all that now, Rusty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got prices. Gas, right? They all has this gas additional fee that they're putting on.
Yeah, and I think there's other fees like they're
if you have to wait, if they have to wait too long and all this shit. So
the tow truck story is good because in Victoria, I believe it started in Victoria, was dial a driver, and it started because guys were ordering tow trucks at the end of the night and getting towed from the bar. Yeah, they said their car wouldn't start, and the guy would show up in the tow truck. They'd pay him $100 or $50, whatever it cost, from there to from the bar to their house with their car, and they'd be riding in the truck with the tow truck driver. So these guys started the company Dollar Driver. It was magic. You drive to the bar, you call them, they come at exactly that time they say. You say you agree on, and one guy drives your car home and the other guy follows in their car and you're
They bring a second guy.
Yeah, second guy. So two people show up and anyways, when I lived there from 03 to 07, it's like I had them on speed dial. Where are you, Russ?
Yeah. Hi, Russ.
Hey, Russ, where are you? What time?
Frequent tow truck points.
Yeah. Where are you and what time?
Of course, the other one still is guys walking out of the bar, go to the pizza joint, order a pizza to be delivered, and then share the drive with the pizza delivery guys. Brilliant.
My buddy did that in Regina, the Grey Cup.
Yeah. The best move I ever saw, Grey Cup, Rusty at the Big Beer Garden. There's a guy really hammered. He's about 6'6". Okay. And we got to try and get rid of him. We can't. He's out of control. And there's only two cops on the door, right, of this thing. And we bring the one cop over, and the cop's kind of like pointing at, looking up at him, right, and says, "You got to settle down. Okay. You got to settle down. Yeah. You're going to settle down, and you're going to walk out with me right now, and we're going to get you home." And the guy leans over and rips the shirt of the cop.
Oh, boy.
Two hands, rips it open like this.
Not good.
Not good. And I'm looking at this cop goes like this. "No, you shouldn't have done that, you know?" Yeah. And he goes, "Anyway, you enjoy yourself." I'm going, "What?" And the cop turns around and walks away. I go, "What's going on there?" 6 minutes later, Russ, 12 cops, okay, show up.
Oh, my God.
And carry the guy out like a coffin. I went to, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Careful what you're doing out there, folks.
Everybody's got a plan till they get punched in the face.
Just a reminder, if you'd like to connect online with Russ or Jimmy or engage with them on social media, find out how at thesuspendables.com.
You said last week, not even Colorado will be able to beat Tampa. Okay, you think they're too good? Looked like you were dead ass wrong. 7 goals in the second game, Colorado.
Oh God, that was bad, wasn't it?
But so bad, and it was going. Oh, don't tell me. Don't, you know where I was disappointed? Going, this thing's had the greatest hype in the last 100 years for a Stanley Cup final. You know, it's going to be the best. Well, your boys came back, Rusty.
Well, I was sure wrong, wasn't I? Because I said the first two games, Colorado would be rusty, and they just came out, and they're like, it was like men versus boys.
What happened, Russ, to Tampa in those first two games?
I don't know. But they just look sluggish. They didn't look good at all, and maybe it's the Mile High, Denver. Maybe Denver's just that much better. I don't know, but they were flying by them. My son took the over in the second game.
Oh, good one.
And it was 6 was the over under. And when it was 4-0, I said, God, he really needs Tampa to score a couple goals to get Colorado to keep their engines going.
Right.
Well, I was wrong there too, because boom, 5-0, 6-0, and he won at 7-0. I mean, when does one team score 7 goals to make the over? I mean, that's unheard of.
Or 7 goals against that team that
yeah.
they did.
Well, look at last night. Now, 6-2. Was it? 6-2. Yeah. I actually, in the third period, I barely watched. I love the tight games. I love the first game comeback. And, you know, obviously Colorado came out with the win. But as Johnny Cooper said, Dad, John Cooper's son is Johnny, and he said, "Dad, the first game you guys were about a C+." He said, right. "Okay," and then the second game you're an F.
And then this is an 11-year-old son.
Yeah, I think he's 11 or something like that. And he says, "Last night he goes, you guys were B+ or B-ish or something like that." So John Cooper, his great sense of humor, goes, we're trending in the right way. I just read that on Instagram. Somebody posted it. So Johnny Cooper, he's got my son's Honda 70 motorcycle. We bought my son and daughter for Christmas in Victoria. We bought them 2 Honda 70s. My wife always wanted one as a kid.
Right.
And they don't have a clutch or whatever. We went out and bought these 2 motorcycles. We had a nice yard. They could just ride around our yard in Oak Bay, and a little bike path we put in just for this reason, so they could zip around the yard. We had about an acre. And anyways, Christmas morning, my daughter comes in, puts it right through the wooden garage door. And they were really young, and I couldn't believe Paris wanted them to have these bikes, and she was bawling. I pulled the bike out of the garage door, put her back on the bike, and said, "You got to get back on." She said, "I don't want to. And she barely ever rode the bike again. So we sold it. But this bike, Lawton, we took it to Gosser, gave it to this doctor's two boys. They rode it. And we said, when you outgrow it, you got to hand it down. So then Mike Cameron's kid got it. He outgrew it. And last year he gave it to old Johnny, little Johnny Cooper's driving around this little Honda 70. That's probably what, 20?
That's cool.
16 years old now. And it looks like it did the first day we bought it. I don't know what Allie's looks like because it went through the freaking door. She hit the gas instead of the brake. Anyways, a little story of Johnny Cooper.
Johnny Good Cooper, kid. The son of
John
Cooper. Head coach of Tampa Bay. Yeah. Let's go to some shout outs, Rusty.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, boys. Russ is shit. Jim's really good. Thanks a lot, Bob, from Nevada. He's listening there. Hey Jim, if not Jim, for you, the show's fucking nowhere.
You can't read That's out stuff you wrote. Come on. Right.
Okay. Don't interrupt me.
Okay. You're on a roll. Go.
This is from Gallardo in Winnipeg, who says, you can do the show alone, Jim. You're great. I can't. Jeez. I got to get my shots in early, Rusty.
Yeah, yeah.
I got your some sister Cheryl sends us a note about a friend of hers, Sherry Pace, I think is her name. Yeah. Cheryl says, my friend that listens to your podcast is physically unable to leave her house with her condition. She uses your podcast as her church.
Wow.
Know that, wow. Like the broadcaster used to say during games, for the shut-ins. Now one of my friends is, it is healing her. She is from the hockey world, so she relates to all the stories. Keeping an isolated person smiling is amazing. And then she goes on to say, Cheryl says, she just texted me at the same time as we were getting her name. Sherry is her name. I think that when I listen to the podcast, it takes me to a safe place mentally. Just for that 1 hour a week, I'm not on guard of what I am thinking. It is relaxing for me. It is meditation.
Wow.
Now, Russ.
Preacher Jim and Pastor Russ.
Okay. When we met with our partner, Russ, we sure didn't say, I'll tell you what, this thing's going to be, relaxing and a form of meditation. But Sherry, thank you very much. Those are super kind words, and we wish you nothing but the best.
Yeah, I hope you're feeling good.
Boy, that's really nice. And to everyone out there who listens to the podcast, because it's not the first time we've had that, which I really like about it, Russ. It's we've had a number of people say it lets me get away for an hour, lets me escape like a little holiday and stuff. So,
well, especially the last couple of years, what we've all been through, you know, everybody's been through this craziness. And people in parts of the world that have winters and falls like Canada does. I mean, last couple of years has been tough on a lot of people. We're spoiled down here because we have the sunshine and you go outside all the time and do have activities. And some places that are, you know, when we were all locked up, it was, I think Theo Fleury said it best, just it really affected people, their mental health. And so for some people, this, you know, 1 hour a week is kind of their way to get away from that. And it's fun for us, and glad that people enjoy listening. I never thought I'd be doing this.
Yeah.
And especially for this long.
Yeah, right.
We didn't think Bill will probably call us today and go, okay, boys, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, someday this show will end.
You just called a shutout, Russ. Yeah, you just called a shutout. Memorial Cup is on, Rusty, which is the Junior A National Championship, national and more. I think there's teams from the States now that play junior hockey that come into this thing. I'll tell you what, Russ, it might be the coolest trophy. I'll tell you why. It's the National Championship of the Canadian Hockey League, a consortium of three major junior leagues operating in Canada and parts of the United States. It's a, it is a four. I don't know if this is right, Stevie. It says it's a four team round robin.
Yeah.
Played between the champions team, of the Ontario, Quebec, and Western Hockey League.
And then there's the host team. So there's always four teams.
And a fourth hosting team, which alternates between the three leagues annual. The Memorial Cup was established by Captain James T. Sutherland, to honor those who died in service during World War I. It was rededicated during the 2010 tournament to honor all soldiers. It was rededicated during the 2010 tournament to honor all soldiers who died fighting for Canada in any conflict at all. That's kind of cool, Russ.
That is. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense. Memorial Cup. Makes sense. When I played for the Victoria Cougars in the WHL with my brother Jeff, we had a really good team. And we lost to Portland Winterhawks, who eventually they went and represented Western, the WHL, I should say, the Memorial Cup. So, and another one of those, Russ was close.
Yeah. Fuck. big event, big tournament though, Russ. Oh, right? Got to be a million scouts, right? Is there,
it's
would
huge.
There be a million scouts there?
Yeah, and I was in my draft year, right? So the longer you play, the longer you get noticed. And I had a really good playoff. And I broke my wrist over Christmas, right before Christmas, and I missed 10 games. And so I really, it took me a little while to get going again. And then I really started playing well in the playoffs. And that helped me. I think I was rated 11th in the Central Scouting. Mm-hmm. And I went to, 7th to Toronto. So that playoff really helped me move up the draft.
Big pressure, right? Big pressure when kids hear this podcast and they hear that story that you just told, going, this is what it can mean if you play well at a, you know, a high level tournament, right? Change your life.
It was life changer for sure.
Yeah.
And it also helped my brother too, because he was undrafted and, he signed that right after with the Boston Bruins as a free agent.
Right.
So both of us, that playoff run really helped us.
We'll keep an eye on that. Stevie, who's in it? The Memorial Cup. I know Edmonton is my town.
Hmm. You got Edmonton. You've got St. John, which is the host team.
Yep.
You've got the Hamilton Bulldogs and the Shawinigan Cataracts.
Nice.
There we go. I thought there were more teams, but.
That would be four there, knucklehead.
Yeah. Thank you, pal. Thank you. Rusty, couple of things that happened so far. There was a nasty cross check on a hip because what's his face is gone, right? Kucherov,
is he out of the series or just out?
Yeah, well, he's out of that game. He went to do a sort of one timer after that and then swiped at it and immediately exited.
I heard the announcers saying he was leaving. Ray Ferraro. So my feed is ESPN.
Right.
Listening to Mark Messier and Chris Chelios and Ray Ferraro, and you're probably getting the Canadian feed.
Chelios pretty good.
Yeah, he's getting better. He's improving. He struggled during the year. I think it's really difficult when it's only the two or three of them, you know, right. Mark, and where Gretz has this larger panel, there's five guys and they really feed off each other.
Right.
And I think Mark and Chelly have gotten better. And I think Mark's been really good all along and Chelly's gotten better each right. month.
Yeah, he was a little too revved up when I first saw him, like a little too, you know. I'll tell you something about Chris Chelios. I reached out to Craig Simpson. He said he'd love to come on the show. He just can't do it during the playoffs. Sorry, Jimmy, I got this, that, the other thing, right? And a lot of guys we do reach out to get back to us with an explanation of why they can't do it at this time. Here's Chris Chelios. Chelly, Jimmy, Jerome, me and Rusty doing a podcast. Been going on for a while, but I would love to get you on. A lot of people ask, would you mind coming on? No. Okay, no shit after Russ. No, yeah, nothing. Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. No. He's great. I love him. Hey, Rusty, if you were the head of this player safety, it always comes up. You know, what do you do with the guy who did that hit? Is there retribution? Should they let the other guy?
No, the cross check to the hip.
Well, what are we doing about this, Russ? Guys are getting hurt. Okay.
Well, it's part of the game. And Kucherov apparently is going to be in playing. He's dressing for game four. Tampa Bay coach expects him to play. Those cross checks in the lower, you know, in the padded areas are just part of the game. I mean, cross-checking, that's...
I mean, yeah, yeah. So I guess the question is, Russ, we've asked
unless you cross check somebody in the teeth, I mean, in the head, then that's not allowed. Shouldn't be done.
Is the bench coach, Russ, the bench coach, that's a baseball term. Is there any point, Russ, really take us inside that they're going, go out there and hurt someone?
No. You've already asked me this question. There's no way.
I tried to trip you up on it again. No, that's why I asked
no,
it.
No. None of the coaches I ever played for.
So are you okay with the – if you're in the player's safety, are you okay with what they're handing down over – if you look back over the year with suspensions, there certainly weren't many big ones.
Well, I don't know what I saw and what I didn't see. You know, I can't comment on everything, but I just wish my personal opinion and others that played the game wish that it was all hockey players.
Right.
Like who played the game that were making the decisions, maybe throw in a referee.
Right. But oh, good point.
Having a couple guys that are eager to be involved in hockey that never played at this level shouldn't be making those decisions. Right.
I think you've said the same thing too about analysts who do the broadcast, you know, who come and go through that revolving.
The color commentators, like, you know, I'm listening to Ray Ferraro, Chris Chelios, and Mark Messier. And before that, it was Anson Carter, Rick Tocchet, Wayne Gretzky, and Biz Nasty. And Biz is the only, out of all those guys I mentioned, Biz played the fewest games. Mm-hmm. But he's a comedian and he played the game, so it's great. And the commentators, you know, are the common, that's what they do for a living, and they're really good at it. And so, but when you got Ray Ferraro or Chelly, for me down here, down south, listening, I tend to listen to hear what they have to say. I played with all three of those guys, they're friends. Mm-hmm. But I respect them for their opinion. I may not agree with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm a different fan than most because I played. But that I think as a fan, you want to hear from the experts.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at with that.
John Cooper, of course, everyone's, you know, the one of the stories, of course, is can Tampa Bay three-peat here? And now we talk about dynasties, and rightly so, okay? Rightly so. You start to win three Stanley Cups in, you know, well, Golden State, for example, won the NBA championship, and that's four times in 8 years, right? And that is, you know, for sure that's a dynasty.
Yeah.
Winning two Stanley Cups in a row is almost a dynasty.
Yeah.
They may win, they may not. But a lot of people go, well, whether you win or not, you know, you've incredible accomplishment, you know, winning two Stanley Cups in a row and way to go. Yeah. And if you know, you could walk away from the game today. And Cooper's like, no, why can't we win three?
Yeah.
Remember that? Do you see him? He's like, what are you talking about?
No, but that's
because we won two, we're going to sit down now and go, oh, well, if we win, if not, we got two in the bag. He's like nowhere near that frame of mind.
And players who have been interviewed have all said that, when you win one, you can't wait. I think Sidney Crosby said it, you know, you want to win another one. You want to win. You're starting to look forward to that next one. You know, once you get the taste of it. So they're in the finals. There's no way they probably want it more than ever just to be in that category of, you know, winning three in a row.
Right. What Rusty,
especially in this era too.
Right. You know, we kid you, Rusty, about the Stanley Cup thing. So what was your biggest victory, Russ, that you were the final buzzer went and you were like, oh my God, we won here. Can you remember, Russ, what was the sort of biggest day of your hockey life?
I guess some series. We won some cool series when I played, mm-hmm. But you know, when you don't win the Stanley Cup, I'm sure every player when they finally win the Stanley Cup, it's that game that they, whether they scored or didn't score, but they won and they got to carry around the cup. And I never did. But I played in some really cool games. I remember playing in Montreal and we're losing, I think 4-0 in the third, and we won 5-4 or something. We're winning or losing 4-1 or something, and our line all chipped in and just had this. It was like it was unbelievable. Every time we went out, we freaking scored. And, that was a cool game because it was in Montreal and the fans there were frustrated. And then we started coming back and it was, and we won it in regulation too. I've been on the other side in the playoffs where I'm playing for the Kings. We're winning 3-0 with like 7 minutes left in the third game three. And my brother sucked. He ran our goalie. And then Sean O'Donnell jumped my brother, got a 5-minute major penalty, so they had a power play, and they won the game 5-3 in regulation in the playoffs. So that I remember a couple of years ago it happened to San Jose. They were winning and they took a penalty, and then I can't remember what the team was. They came back and beat them. And I was like watching the game going, yeah, I've been in this game. Yep. I know what it feels like.
Right. Yeah.
Fuck, but it wasn't your brother that did it. Oh my God. It was awful.
The back and forth of momentum.
Yeah. So I've been in those games. Like I've had those games really stick out when you've had one of my highest point. I had 6 points in a game at 3-3 playing for Toronto against Detroit. That was really cool. It was kind of my breakout coming out moment of, you know, I can play in the league. And, so you have those memories, but, unless, you know, I don't sit around and ponder about all the games, but, a couple that stand out good and bad.
The reason I bring it up, is us as fans are, sort of, you know, the exposure we have or the sense we can, the closest we can get to trying to understand what it's like for an NHL player to win the Stanley Cup is just through television, right? Mm-hmm. I'm lucky to know some of these guys personally, so I got a little more inside. But generally, right, people just see it, the celebration on the ice, the smiles and the overwhelming joy, you know, that these guys have. So that's what we get to see. And a lot of it is tame with their responses going, you know, it's what a team. I'm so proud of these guys, et cetera, et cetera. But, beyond that, Rusty, this weekend, of course, was the US Open. Mm-hmm. And, there's a lot of talk all the time during the broadcast of the US Open when they're, you know, they go to a guy who's got an 8-footer, it's not just an important putt, Russ. It goes to the level of this is the biggest putt of this guy's life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whether he's not finished his rounder yet, right? That's like,
yeah.
It's like the opening 5-footer he has, you know, they're going like, this is huge. If he makes this, he's rolling. If he doesn't, fuck, he's going to be destroyed all weekend. It's the US Open. And every shot, Russ, through the whole week gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So the story unfolds. This Zalatoris is in the hunt and Matthew Fitzpatrick, of course, who's the ultimate winner. But I'll tell you what, the story starts to unfold, which I love about major golf tournaments and the Stanley Cup, that they start to take you inside saying, by the way, the caddy for Matthew Fitzpatrick, okay, has not won a major and he's been out there 40 years.
Yeah, okay? That was amazing.
40 years caddying for gunners, okay, big gunners. Matthew Fitzpatrick won when he's been good his whole life. Mm-hmm. Like he won in 2013 on that same golf course at Brookline.
Well, that was for amateurs, right?
Yeah.
Different.
When he won, Russ, it was just this unbelievable wave of emotion with his father, the caddy. The caddy was kissing the flag on the 18th
hole. Mom.
It's way more, Russ, than just, you know, earning your paycheck and winning a championship.
$3.8 million.
Yeah.
$3.8 million.
Yeah. Nice payday for sure. But what a story, Russ. What a story, you know. And some of these fans that I look at, like I take it for granted, right? We're spoiled. Flip the tube on live sports, right? You know, 72 different cameras. And then I think back to, you'll see some of these fans, right? When these teams win or lose, crying. Going, you don't understand, man. I drove 500 miles here because I've cheered for this team my whole life. I've spent thousands on tickets, and and supported them and all the dinners. And so when they do win, it's way more than just the championship. And I love that story watching it. Did you watch it?
I watched the entire thing. I loved it. And talking about fans, the Russ Drevins that we had on show, he was in Tampa when Toronto lost to Tampa. And they literally had to say to him, he was the last person in the building. He said he had his hands between it, or his head between his hands, mm-hmm. had his jersey on, and the security guard came up and said, "Sir, you're the last fan in the building. You've got to leave."
So no.
There's your example of somebody who wants them to win so bad, and they didn't win, and he just couldn't believe it. You know, he was so prepared for them to beat them. And so you're right. And what I thought of when I was watching, I was wondering if in the English pubs or the pubs over in England, mm-hmm. were they watching, and if they were, how just excited they must have been for this kid from mm-hmm. their country over in the United States kicking ass and winning. So hopefully it was euphoria over there, and they were having a good time and a lot of pints.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, golf's a big deal over there.
For sure, man. Yeah, for sure.
That's where it started.
Rusty, before we go, I got an email from someone going, what's happening with hockey here? Is it just going to go year-round now? With the length, this is June 21st, so summer's over. The days get shorter now. Okay.
It's not
over, but
no, just starting.
This is going to, well, it could go to July. There are four more games. There's another every second day. This could go another 7 or 8 days.
Is it delayed because of the pandemic, because of what they've gone through the last few years?
Well,
went into June. I know it's definitely gone into June, the last however many years. But
well, it may be because games were canceled and they had to have makeup games. So the regular season.
It was the Olympic year. Yes. They were supposed to go to the Olympics. They didn't.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of factors. So, but it does go into June.
Generally, Russ, he's not wrong. How hard is it on the NHL guy? How hard is it on the body? Are they just in such good shape they could fucking play two games a day?
Well, it's only two teams that are going to the final. So,
I'm saying the whole season though is it's long. It's 80 plus games.
But they don't hit anymore. Come on,
do tell.
Oh, it's like pond hockey compared to what it used to be like. Guys have their head down and they get a free pass. Look at these guys are in such great shape. I do think that, the body can only take so much, and it does wear and tear on the guys that make the playoffs. So your Oilers, you know, those guys will be able to play into their 40s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get it, Russ. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Not anymore. They've changed it. They took the next step.
Who's your team? Who the fuck is your team, by the way? Okay. Why Oilers? Who's your team?
Toronto.
Who do you cheer for? Who do you want to see win? Who do you want? Just let's go with your top two.
Any of the teams that I've played for. Hey, so I get to cheer on all the teams I played for. So I have like six chances.
Yeah. Yeah. LA, Dallas, Mini,
Vancouver, New York,
Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal. How'd they do this year? All your teams.
No, but I grew up a Toronto fan. My dad was a Leaf fan. I was a Boris Salming fan. I was a Leaf fan. I got drafted by them. I mean, I really want the Leafs to do well.
Tampa Bay, if they win it, first time in 40 years, someone's won three in a row.
Is that right, eh?
Yeah, since the Islanders did it. So, next game
I remember playing against the Islanders when I first broke in 83, 84.
Were you scared? Were you like
No, 10? I wasn't scared. It was like they all had beards and they looked like they could be my dad. I was 18 and barely had hair on my nuts. And they were so big and strong, and they're older. They're an older team. Everybody's older than me, but mm-hmm. It was like I was just in junior hockey, and then I'm playing against the Stanley Cup champions from the last 4 years.
I'd be scared. Yeah.
I got my first goal against Billy Smith.
Oh, no, with the legendary
goaltender, of course. In Long Island.
Yeah. Yeah, the legendary goaltender Jim. No, Jim. He was. It wasn't.
I was scared after. I was scared after I scored against him because he would always two hand you.
He was mental. That guy.
Oh my God, he was crazy. Yeah. Nobody. Everybody said stay away from him.
Kind of Hextall mental, but yeah. But Billy Martin. Yeah. Billy was a little more on. More on the edge.
Yep.
Okay, Rusty. Go back and try out your new golf cart. Hopefully, it got all fixed up.
Yeah, it's coming today. Apparently.
Yeah, you today can do that.
I'm playing golf Thursday morning with Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, no way. Oh, that guy.
Yeah. You met him at our golf tournament at the Courtney Classic.
I
did.
I forgot about that guy.
Thursday morning, he's out. He's a conservative, Christian based. And so he's out an actor. Right. So he's out talking. He's giving some speeches. So he and I are going to catch up and play a little golf on Thursday.
Maybe that's why he didn't talk to me, because all I said to him was, want to do some shots and get blasted? No. We got to get out of here.
Golf, though.
Go Colorado, go.
Go Tampa.
Yeah, you want Tampa.
Go Tampa.
Enjoy the series. When we get back next week with you, we will be talking about a Stanley Cup champion. So that'll be cool. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you to Stevie. Thank you, Steve, for all you're doing. Our fact checker. And we'll be back next week with another installment, Rusty, of The Suspendable. Thank you to everyone from around the world. We'll talk to you next week, Rusty.
See you, bud.
Thanks for listening to The Suspendables. If you're enjoying the show, we invite you to subscribe so you never miss a single episode. Leave a positive review and share the show with your followers. And check out our brand new website, thesuspendables.com.